Hello again, still with us here, Barry Ward, Fine Gael TD for Dunleary, Sinead Gibney, Social Democrats TD for Dublin Rathdown and spokesperson for Arts, Media, Communications, Culture and Sport, Enterprise, Tourism and Employment and Defence, and Michael McNamara joining us from Brussels. He's independent MEP for Ireland South. Harry McGee, political correspondent with the Irish Times here as well. Sinead Gibney, just briefly before we get to the next topic, there's been quite a lot of coverage of changes to the Social Democrats front bench. I read out your full title there, and it has changed. You are no longer the spokesperson on foreign affairs. In most of the newspaper articles, it's been tied in some way or covered in the same breath as your objection to Owen Hayes being readmitted to the party. Is there any connection between the changes?
Well, first of all, let me clarify, Owen Hayes was suspended from the parliamentary party and there has been no further announcement on that. So that's just to clarify that part of it. And we reallocated the spokesperson roles this week. It's been in discussion, obviously, over the last week since the committee positions were appointed, and Senator Patricia Stevenson has been appointed to the International Affairs Committee. We didn't get it within our Dáil allocation of committees. So that was part of the reshuffle and that's why she had it. I mean, I was thrilled. I knew there was going to be, we all knew that there would be a reshuffle once Patricia was got her. She didn't have a spokesperson role up until now, so until she got her committee allocation. And I've really enjoyed working on international affairs and public expenditure and reform, which has now moved back over to Cian. Like, there's been a reshuffle. I'm genuinely surprised at the amount of attention it's got today.
I suppose it occurred shortly after there was, repeated questions to you as to whether or not you would be happy to stay in the party if Owen Hayes was readmitted to the parliamentary party, and you declined to answer that, and the reshuffle was announced. So people maybe are adding two and two and getting five, you say?
I mean, like, that question was put to me on the plinth, and I just simply said to Louise, who asked me the question, that I don't answer hypotheticals. I have no intention of leaving this party. I am a very proud Social Democrat. We are making, we made a collective decision on the suspension of Owen Hayes. Any decision that we make will be a collective decision thereafter. Meanwhile, I've been working hard on the portfolios that I've had, and I will continue to work hard on these new portfolios that I have. I'm on three committees, media, arts and comms. I'm also on artificial intelligence, which I'm really excited about, and the implementation of the Good Friday Agreement, which is another one that I'm very excited about. Right. I similarly have defence as a spokesperson role and enterprise, tourism and employment. So I'm busy and I don't have international affairs anymore, but that doesn't mean I won't be commenting on it.
All right. And your colleague, who is a senator, is also a former EU diplomat.
Exactly, and very experienced.
There's no suggestion that anyone doing the role isn't as qualified as yourself to do it. You mentioned defence there. We are going to get to that now. Harry, the Taoiseach at the PD Fora conference, that's the representative organisation for other ranks in the Defence Forces, said this week that the heads of the bill to change the triple lock is going to go to Cabinet soon. What's the reaction been so far?
Well, I mean, the reaction has been, really depends on where you stand on the triple lock, and those who are in favour of changing it will have welcomed it and think it can't happen quickly enough, and those who oppose the abolition of the triple lock will become more vocal. It's going to take a while to go through the Oireachtas, but this government does seem determined. The International Forum on Peace and Security last year, I think, was the clinching factor for Micheál Martin, who was then Taoiseach and Minister of Foreign Affairs and Defence, and he seems to have been one of the driving forces behind it. I think Simon Harris is also very supportive of ending the triple lock, and the arguments have been well rehearsed and well ventilated. At this stage, those who are in favour of it say that it's impossible for Ireland to deploy in a meaningful way on peacekeeping missions abroad with the current configuration of the UN, especially the Security Council, when you have countries like Russia and China and perhaps the US under Donald Trump, which have the power of veto. And they said the other mechanism, which is a vote of the General Assembly, I don't think that has actually been deployed since the 1950s. So it is theoretically possible, but it's been moribund for well over half a century. And those who defend the triple lock, say that neutrality, even though it's not constitutional, has a long-standing policy of Ireland. We've always valued the UN, and essentially by ceding the triple lock, we will be eroding the position of primacy the United Nations and the rule of international law and rules-based law, that Ireland has adhered to for so many decades. We will be eroding that, and that will be the beginning of what some will claim is a slippery slope towards more kind of arrangements in terms of defence within the European Union and perhaps on a wider scale.
OK. Michael McNamara, are you a believer that a removal of the triple lock would be the beginning of a slippery slope into the erosion of neutrality?
Well, I mean, I think it'll certainly result in a move to deploy Irish troops into peace enforcement rather than peacekeeping. And I think they're quite different things. And I think it's something that those who are in favour of removing it aren't really acknowledging it. I mean, obviously, peacekeeping is when there's more or less peace on the ground, albeit imperfect. Peace enforcement is sort of what happened in Kosovo and the late 90s. Obviously, there was a peacekeeping mission proposed, but it was vetoed, or at least it never got to the stage of being formally vetoed. So I do think peace enforcement is obviously a lot more dangerous. And I don't know, is that something that people, it's where we want to be sending Irish troops or not?
Right. Maybe what would under what auspices would these peace enforcement missions that you're thinking about be set up? I mean, what are you suggesting Ireland would be sending troops on?
So yeah, I'm not proposing that. I'm saying that would be the result of it.
No, I'm just.
They would be under the European. I mean, I think they could come under some kind of joint European control or some European sort of type. Joint under the control of some European battle group or something like that. I mean, there's obviously the big elephant in the room is Ukraine, and whether I mean Russia has ruled out European boots on the ground in Ukraine, yet the so-called coalition of the willing keep talking about sending in peacekeepers. So whether Ireland will participate in that or not, I would have thought that is what we're building up towards in reality, even if nobody wants to admit that.
Okay, Barry Ward, do you want to respond to that? First of all, I mean, I suppose the logic of removing the triple lock, Ireland has traditionally sent peacekeepers abroad as part of the UN. What missions would you be thinking of sending them abroad on, and what's your response to Michael McNamara's suspicion about what might happen?
I would ask the question about the logic of keeping the triple lock in circumstances where the UN has been paralysed and hasn't approved a single new peacekeeping mission since 2014. The notion that we as a country now of over 100 years of age, with a very proud record of peacekeeping and great credentials to stand on in that regard, have to go to the UN to ask permission to deploy our troops abroad, I think it's a nonsense. To seek the approval of countries like Russia and China before we get involved in any kind of mission abroad or any deployment of more than a dozen troops abroad is a nonsense. What this is a measure of maturity, a measure of the fact that we can trust our own state to make a decision. And it still requires a decision of the government and of the Dáil before any deployment takes place. But can we not do that as a sovereign country in a mature, modern democracy? Can we not make that decision for ourselves?
Would it be easier for people, though, to make that decision if they knew what the government had in mind and under what auspices it would hope to deploy troops abroad, if not under a UN Security Council mandate?
Well, Simon Harris has been really clear about this, and I challenge one thing that Michael said there. This is not a move away from the UN. It's not a diminution of our commitment to the UN in any way. Simon has said very clearly that there's no intention for Ireland to be involved in missions abroad that don't have a UN involvement. It's not the case that Ireland is setting itself up as a standalone peacekeeping, providing services or anything like that. But the notion that in circumstances where we know the UN is paralysed in its decision making in many respects, why can we not be able to make this decision ourselves as a country? We should be able to.
Sinead Gibney, you know, you're not in favour of removing the triple lock, but there was no triple lock between when Ireland was deploying people on UN missions between 1958, when they first sent observers to Lebanon, up to the early 2000s, and they didn't go mad.
And we've never had a peacekeeping mission without a UN mandate. What did happen, obviously, in that meantime is the Nice and Lisbon treaties, during which the Irish population were concerned about the fact that there would be a creep towards EU militarisation. Hey presto, that's exactly what's happening. So the triple lock was brought in so that we our neutrality would be protected within that. And we the UN Security Council veto is
We also do have a constitutional prohibition on joining a European Defence Alliance, though, don't we?
But there are so many steps that are being taken which undermine all of that and which undermine our neutrality more generally. The UN Security Council has renewed missions since 2014, plenty of them. That's and it's disingenuous to suggest. I mean, the UN security veto is first of all positioned as this thing that's nonsense, I think is the word that Barry just used there. It's exactly what we asked for. This is what we asked for. That's what multilateralism is. I mean, people are given this the hypothetical at the moment that what if Russia vetoed peacekeepers going into Ukraine? If Russia vetoed peacekeepers going into Ukraine, they are not peacekeepers because there's no peace to keep. And the point about the UN General Assembly, I think, is really important because it hasn't been used since the 1950s, but that does not mean that it cannot be used.
For the benefit
it was
of
cited
listeners.
In the Nice and Lisbon treaties as being the backup mechanism. It is the backup mechanism when there is a gridlock at the Security Council. And we need to use the Uniting for Peace resolution, which can be deployed by the General Assembly. The General Assembly can satisfy the triple lock. The government don't like that fact because it undermines their argument. And so many, I mean, the biggest issue that I have with how this government is positioning it is, first of all, that the triple lock is not central to neutrality, which both parties in government have moved away from and had previously said that that was the case, but also that Fine Gael even support neutrality, because that is just completely undermined by the actions that they're taking.
But Barry Ward, you say it's you know, this wouldn't be a diminution of Ireland's commitment to the UN, but it's a kind of an either or, because in order for Ireland to make troops available to an EU battle group, it had to not commit further troops to the observer mission on the Golan Heights UNDOF. So there's a choice to be made. Is that not a diminution?
No, it absolutely isn't. And if, like Sinead suggested, there was a disingenuous approach to this, disingenuous is to suggest, A, that there is a creep towards EU militarisation, which is an outrageous statement, but then to suggest there's any kind of move against our military non-alignment. There is not a single TD that I'm aware of, and certainly not a single political party in this country that is advocating for a move away from military non-alignment. What we are talking about in terms of the removal... No, Neil is not saying that we should be moving away from military alignment. That's not true.
But he opposes
and what
neutrality.
We're talking about. No, sorry. Again, we use neutrality as this term as if it's a unitary thing. We are not a neutral country. I don't want to be part of a country that is so neutral that it can't call out what's happening in Gaza or call out what's happening in Ukraine. That's not a neutral thing. We are militarily non-aligned, but there is not a single TD, my colleague Neil Richmond or anybody else, who's calling for Irish troops to get involved in wars in that capacity. Nobody's saying that. And yet people like Sinead profess that this is somehow a move towards that. Who's moving it towards that? When every single party in the Dáil is saying that we support the policy of military non-alignment, and every poll says that people support that as well.
Very briefly, about 10 seconds, Sinead Gibney, if you can fit a response in on that, because we do have to hit an ad break before we go.
Neutrality is an act of commitment that we all have to commit to. It is not cowardice, it's not a dodge, and it is being eroded by this government. We are way down the slippery slope already.
Okay, we've got to take a break. Back in a minute.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.